Welcome back to a long-awaited At the Buzzer podcast. We are a Ralphie Report podcast, always, who always do the best that we can to give you what you need regarding the Colorado Athletics. It has been summer break for us, like it has been for so many people, including the Colorado Buffaloes football team and basketball team and other teams. But we finally found a way to reconvene at an exciting time to give us some updates. And by we, of course, I mean one of our co-hosts, which is me, Jack. Hello. Hello again. And our other co-host, Sam.
I would also say
How are you,
that
Sam?
hi. We also realized, I think, in tandem that we make about on this new contract about $3 per episode total. And so,
We do it for the love of the game always, man.
we thought we'd be in this new era of getting back out there, working really hard to get interviews. Yeah, I think we went about three episodes before the paycheck came. And we're like, ugh. All right. So
All
I have
good.
not been prioritizing this as much as I should have. But
We never did it for we never did it for the paycheck. And
No, we did it because
I
our
will
editor
say
asked
though,
us to.
we do it for the credentials. We do it for the credentials. Which, hey,
Because
we use them,
hey,
baby.
RafferyReport.com is now a FIBA certified media credentialed
Hell
publication.
yeah.
I don't know
Hell
how it
yeah.
happened, but our editor John, he basically, like, I don't know, I guess he has connections with Team USA Basketball and helped get me a press pass to go to Hungary. And so now I am in Debrecen, Hungary, covering this tournament only for a few days because I have some school stuff that I have to take care of. But yeah, I'm here. I'm with Team USA. I interviewed Tad Boyle earlier today, the head coach of the Team USA under 19 team. And I'm going to talk to Cody Williams tomorrow, the five-star freshman who we're all excited about.
Yeah, just to give people a little more context as to why we care so much about Team USA, Tad Boyle is coaching the under 19 team, I think for the second year in a row, third year in a row.
He was the head coach of the U18 team last year in the Americas
Okay.
competition. That was where he coached Kal-El
Okay.
Weah, hence why people thought that we might be recruiting Kal-El Weah.
And it might be why Steve had enough information to not recruit Kalel Ware, though he in the end he's gonna do great. So
Also,
anyways,
there was a red flag that GG Jackson was getting DNPs for the Team USA last summer with Tad Boyle.
wow, I shout out GG Jackson. I forgot about him.
Oh yeah, well, so did the NBA. He went like pick 45 in the NBA draft.
Oh man, we're just coming out hot today. So that's why we did any of it is because Tab Oil and Cody Williams are going to be obviously huge parts of CU basketball next year, and it's cool that we get to look at them before that even starts, and talk to Tab Oil. So you just did that, and we're putting that up on the site when we can. But how was that boy?
Who is our boy? Is it Tad or Cody?
Tad.
Oh, he's good. He's happy to be coaching. He likes it. He's a little bit what?
No, I certainly hope he likes it.
Oh yeah. No, it's
He's done
like
it for a long time.
no, it's like it's good for him to like coach a team that he's not like completely invested in. Because like he's not yelling at players in practice, which is good. I don't think he yells at people. Like he's not like fucking Chris Beard. Oh my God. No, he's like no, he just seems like he's enjoying it, letting it flow. He's very clearly frustrated with the team that they he's only been able to work with this team for 2 weeks, and he basically hasn't they don't know how to play defense just yet. They almost lost to Slovenia last night because
I
they didn't
saw
know
that.
how to. Yeah, they couldn't hedge a pick and roll, and they kept getting cut up. The offense is clunky. The coaches, the players are figuring out how to play with each other. It looks like a team that's been together 2 weeks versus like the Slovenian national team, which I think they've been in competitions with the same core for the last several years. But they pulled away.
Well,
I almost said the Buffs, but the Americans. Yeah.
Well, what are Buffs if not Americans? American national mammal, shout out. I also think that, of course, like America can no longer, I shouldn't say can no longer, but you can't really out-talent people, right, anymore, especially at the U19 level. Like, it's hard. And isn't the lead guard Kylan Boswell?
Yes, I fucking love Kylan Boswell. Have you watched him play?
I have. He was on Arizona last year, for those who might know that name, and he became more of a big deal for them near the end of the year.
He was a 17-year-old freshman.
Yeah, and he will be a huge part of their team this year. And he's fun, but he can't shoot, right?
He can shoot mid ranges like very well. He loves getting people into like the hostage dribble, you know, and then bump them and then fade to the left for a little midi. That's his go to. It's very nice. His form's
very
not that
aesthetic.
Bad for three, but he's like an Andre Miller type floor general who's gonna big ass his way. I think he's smaller than Andre, but
Andre is pretty big.
No, yeah. No, I know Andre was huge, but what am I gonna throw out a Grievous Vasquez reference for people?
Wow.
I
mean
think
almost national champ. Or national champ. Did he make I don't remember.
No, they weren't. That was Steve Blake, Maryland, who won the national championship. Grievous Vasquez
Thank
was
you.
ACC player of the year. But again, like Boswell is smaller than those guys. It's just like the type of play he does, it's gonna be fucking annoying because he's so calm. So smart, and he makes really great defensive plays, and he gets to his spots on offense and facilitates pretty well. Just a really good team player. And I asked Tad about him, and yeah, he was saying that really good player. It's tough that they're gonna have to face him in Pac-12 play.
And you also asked Tad about, of course, Cody Williams, the guy we most care about on this team. And thank God for Tad stacking the deck so we can get more time with his boy in the off season. How's he look?
Well, okay, so I wish that I could do the audio recording I have with Tad for this podcast. But someone forgot to bring the microphone to their own face when they're asking questions. So the audio is unusable.
I can't believe Toronto would do that.
Yeah, definitely not someone who is not used to interviewing people. well, okay, so the context is that Cody, he started the first game, or he started both games, and then against Slovenia, he played a little bit in the first half because they're rotating 12 guys. And then he only played a few minutes in the second half. Didn't really look very good. And Slovenia was completely sagging off of him. And he wasn't taking the catch and shoot threes when he got the ball. And it wasn't really working. So the coaches switched up the like who was playing, basically. And kind of the offense hit stride when Trey Johnson, the number one recruit for this high school class. He's a nasty shooter. The offense just looked a lot better with him in. So they mostly kept him in, and Cody didn't play the rest of the game. We can talk about that, because that's a big weakness for Cody.
Well, his shots always looked a little weird.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to lean on that in college, but you don't want it to be that much of a hindrance, especially with a team like CU, and we can talk about this in a second, where shooting was like the big need this offseason, and there's no real clear answer to that need still.
Yeah. I think Cody shot like 32% or something from three in high school, which is pretty bad considering that teams give him a lot of room to shoot and it's a shorter line. Shot, right. The form isn't that good. He's not confident with it, which is really the issue. And like again, like Slovenia was sagging off of him, so he couldn't blow by them. He couldn't beat them off the dribble because they gave him two steps. And like I think that could be mitigated if he has the ball in his hands and KJ's playing off the ball, like KJ Simpson, which I think they're going to do a lot. And Tad did say that they're going to use him as a ball handler a lot. They're going to play him at the two guard and the wing. But on this team, on this USA team, they have a lot of guards who are a little bit better with the ball. So Cody can't play on ball. So I think that they can mitigate the weakness a little bit, and they'll push the tempo quite a bit. See you, Will.
I mean, he is an incredible, I think, I guess, an incredibly incredible athlete with his first step and how long he is. And I really like his bag around the rim. It sounds like you don't, you're not a huge fan of like his, you don't think he's as explosive as you expect him to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't, I think part of it, like, I know you shouldn't read into the McDonald's All-American game because it's a pickup game and he did have a good game, but he just like when you see him playing against like really good athletic wings who are about his size and length, he couldn't really create any separation and he kept getting like, I think he got blocked three times on layups at the All-American game. Part of that is Ron Holland is a crazy athlete and was chasing down some of those blocks. But against Slovenia too, the one time he drove and got a step on a guy, he got blocked by a Slovenian guy who was shorter than him. So I'm a little bit worried about that. I do like the bag. I do like that he finishes with both hands.
Yeah.
And he has like his biggest strength is the long steps, not necessarily the explosive steps. And I think also it's like this is his first time playing against elite athletes, against the physicality of FIBA. And I think he'll learn and adjust. It's just for me, it's a little bit worrying that like I don't know what a top five projected pick is supposed to look like, but he doesn't really look like that to me right now. And I think that we should not have those expectations on him.
I mean, we both also, I think, have taken a longer view with what he might look like than some others have because of how highly rated he's been. I think just, I don't know, reading any scouting reports on him, he is projected so high because of what he could be, right? Mm-hmm. And NBA pedigree with his brother and, you know, obviously guard skills and a 6'9 frame. Like,
yeah,
but
I
all
mean,
of that
like,
takes. Go ahead.
The him being a late bloomer and only skyrocketing lately, you're like, oh, well, what will his growth be moving forward if he just grew that much this past year?
Yeah. So what that means is, like, I wouldn't expect him – what's a good example? Like, Jahlil Okafor as a prospect was, like, pretty much done. And he was, like, a number top five recruit or whatever, but he was done.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't expect Finished Cody product. Williams to have a Jahlil Okafor like impact where he was
Josh
like
Scott
the immediate best player on a immediate best player on a national championship team, but he also is going to play a lot. It's not like he's not, he is going to play a lot.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the Stanford guys that they brought in, the five-star wings, Zaire Williams and Harrison Ingram. Who weren't quite ready to contribute in a way that was expected on them as five stars going to a smaller school, but did become good players. And I think Harrison Ingram was better his freshman year than Zaire Williams was. And I think like Cody probably projects a little bit more like that if you're, but I think better.
Yeah. And it sounds like, so you're, We will have a Cody Williams interview as well to be able to publish on the site soon, it sounds like.
Yeah,
I'd be interested to see how, you know, I guess the basic stuff, how he thinks his transition to college is going, how he thinks it'll be used next year. But, you know, I guess also want to hear about how he thinks about the rest of the team, because there is everyone arrived in Boulder this past week.
What?
Because everyone arrived in Boulder this past week. So,
well, yes, before your segue, though, I did have a couple quotes I can kind of share from Tad.
Okay.
One was, I was asking him about, like, Tad working with Cody before, like, over the offseason. And Tad was basically saying, Cody is one of the 12 guys on this team, and everybody is important to us right now. So, like, he's basically not getting preferential treatment. And that, like, what this team is working through right now, because they don't have that much time to, like, put in a system, is they're trying to win with defense and rebounding, which is basically just Tad boiled basketball, and right. I love it.
Right.
And so, like, Tad is really coaching these guys up in that way. And so he said that Cody is basically getting a feel for the philosophies of Colorado basketball, as well as reps on the floor. And the other thing is that, like, I kind of alluded to it, but FIBA basketball is officiated differently than American basketball. It's a lot more physical. Like, there's a lot more contact allowed. And right. Tad said that one of Cody's, like, biggest weaknesses is that, like, he needs to learn how to play in a more physical, like, he needs to adjust to the physicality going from high school basketball to college basketball. And this is really good preparation for him to learn how to, like, go against the physical defense.
Well, the Slovenia team is also under 19, right? Right?
Everybody is.
Okay. But I guess they might be, I mean, they're allowed to play professionally over there, so they might already be professional.
Yeah.
Players that he's playing against. Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to play Lebanon tomorrow. That's not going to teach us anything. They'll probably play China after that. Probably won't teach us anything. but that's why I'm here. And then afterwards, they have to play France, who has some very talented players. I think they're overhyped and not very good. They might face...
Oh, wow.
Well, no, there's a guy named Zachary Risaka, who is a possible top pick next year, and he just doesn't look that good. Like, he looks like a glue guy, and that's it. And then the Spain team is looking really good. I think that will be a big challenge, because they are playing hard on defense. They just blew out France because they were full court pressing the entire game.
Well, I guess, speaking of, if they need another coach that can full court press the whole game, I heard one became recently available from Morgantown due to some unfortunate mistakes.
Kirk Crissa is staying at West Virginia, so that's fun.
I won't say who, what, or when I saw this, but it did take less than 24 hours for a CU fan to say, Bob Huggins is available, make the call, Rick. So, yep.
Because we need that. We have a BAC of 0.210 at 7:30 in the evening, 8:30 in the evening.
He was in Pittsburgh and thought he was in Columbus, Ohio. So, you know, we've all been there.
I knew about the truck. In the trunk, there was a whole bag of beer cans. And in the front, there was a growing bag of beer cans.
yeah, man. Just, you know, normal 70-year-old stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right after the podcast that he was on, too, which we... Thankfully, we don't throw homophobic slurs around this podcast, nor would we allow guests to do that.
yeah, man, what a self-destruction. So, anyways, retracing back to my segue, Cody Williams arrived in Boulder 2 weeks ago with the rest of the freshmen and new players. So for CU, that meant Cody Williams, Courtney Anderson, and Sonny Giop, who we all knew about, returned with the rest of the team. And then the one person we didn't know about, the late-breaking finishing to the class, is, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, I'm sure, Bhangat Dak, who played last year in Omaha and was getting offers from Power 5 schools via prep school, basically, before he signed with CU and will redshirt this year. Essentially, everyone is under the same impression that he will redshirt this year. So, you know, I think Sam and I spent about 4 months talking about how the need is for a shooter, a veteran experienced shooter and player, and that would be best case. And what we got is the exact opposite of that. So a lot of questions, but he does I should say, though. Yeah, I as I was about to say, I should say before I get too mad about this year, that for the future, this is exactly, I mean, this is a tabloid recruit almost all the way. He is already talking about defense as a 17-year-old freshman all the time. He's 6'10", has a frame, has some skill, has some athleticism, but, you know, not a lot to with a polished offense. And the hope is that the redshirt year lets him get a little bit stronger, get a little bit cleaner in the offense, and then he can
learn some moves from defensive Tristan.
Monster. Yeah, seriously.
I mean, is it worth mentioning that, like, Iowa State and Nebraska were trying to recruit him? Because, like, those teams go pretty hard with recruiting, especially in that region.
Well, you want the local powers to be interested in the guy that you pluck mm-hmm. out. So the fact that a Nebraska player is being chased by Big 12 and Big 10 schools in that area is great. And instead of doing the prep school route and then being off and then going to Nebraska or Iowa State, you basically said, we have an open scholarly, we'll just use that on you and you can get stronger faster at college. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we know we want you anyways. So you know, what that means is that CU loses a scholarship to play with for this year. And that hurts, I think, I guess. I will continue to go back to that. But for next year's team, that front court, which is losing De Silva, is starting to look pretty – if these players become anything, it's starting to look pretty crazy with Hassan Giop, Joe Hurlburt, and Bhangat Dak also all becoming stronger this year and adding to senior year Eddie Lampkin next year.
Yeah, that's a lot of bigs. Not a lot of wings.
A lot of bigs.
Not a lot of shooters.
Nope.
We were hoping for Dalton Connect. He was probably number one on the list. He turned out to be too good. Teams realized that he was too good, and he's now at Tennessee. We thought we
might get... Yeah, not to belabor it too much, but I heard a little something-something that he got a decent money that is equivalent to a large portion of Tab Boyle's salary next year. Not crazy, crazy amount, but just, like, to put in perspective where NIL stuff is happening, like, yeah, Connect got good money and he deserves it.
Yeah, no, he's good.
He does not have good money to give.
Yeah, Chance McMillian going to Texas Tech. Also, they're throwing around booster money at NIL, although they didn't pay it to all their players last year, such as Fardas IMAC.
That's one I really wish CU could have won. I think CU was in it to the very end. He visited. I really wanted CU to win that one.
Yeah, yeah. But you missed my segue, which is Fardas IMAC, formerly of Utah Valley. He's going to Cal because mm-hmm. Texas Tech wasn't paying him the NIL he was promised. And he might be joined by Trey Woodbury at Cal, also a former Utah Valley State mm-hmm. player or Utah Valley that we tried to get in. It seemed that NIL was prohibitive as well. I last saw rumors of him obviously going to Cal to follow the coach, and then Illinois also getting in because apparently Illinois has some scholarship.
Illinois has been a mess. And, you know, I don't know how much we want to talk about national recruiting, but Illinois has been the lead on like four different point guards and has lost out on all of them. And then one of the only guards they got that was anything was an Iowa State transfer who they basically had to drop this past week because it's rumored that this player is implicated with all the other Iowa State athletes that gambled on Iowa State games, shit. Supposedly.
Damn.
So he's not going to be eligible. So basically, Illinois is trying desperately to get any sort of guard that does anything, and it's been hard for them.
I wonder what's going on with Illinois, because like Andre Curbelo had the whole situation that happened. They had another player named, I think, Zachary Perrin, who is one of France's best players at this competition. He left after like a month at the program. It just seems, a bit messy with Brad Underwood. We don't have a shooter. NIL issues proved a problem. The boosters are shelling out for the football team. I don't know why not for the basketball team. I mean, I know.
Well, it's not as exciting. And it's just not the same groundswell of support. But the other part of that is, it's not all just it is money is a huge part of it for experienced shooters, but also, it's just I guess to me I'm gonna call it like it is. I think Tab Boyle is getting better at valuing shooting, but I don't think he's to the point where he will value shooting at the detriment of other things that he finds valuable. So you could probably find shooters that can put the ball in the basket out there, but they will either be complete stiffs on defense or black holes on offense. And I don't think Tab Boyle is willing to sacrifice those parts of what he deems valuable for raw shooting. I just don't think so. So,
And like it should be
that
the players we were looking at were not pure shooters. They just turned out to be too good of all around players for us to have in our budget.
Yeah, and I think he is hoping for a reversion to form for a few guys that shot well 2 years ago. Luke O'Brien was 40% 2 years ago. Hammond was around 38% 2 years ago. Even Simpson was better. And, you don't like hoping, especially when this is likely the most talented roster he's ever had. But that's kind of where CU ends up.
I will say.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think, like, if Cody Williams can be a lead ball handler that does open up things, because it wasn't like, we have this, how do I say this? We have essentially the same starters offensively. It's just Addie Lampkin will be there instead of Lawson Lovering. That's only changed spacing. And then Cody will be there instead of Neat Clifford, who is a hypothetically a better shooter, but was effectively a non-shooter, sadly. But where am I going with this? Oh, KJ, I will defend KJ's poor shooting because he was playing through an injury, playing through sickness, and he was physically exhausted from not having any other ball handlers who could do anything with the ball. And he was getting double team trapped all the time. Had the other team's best defender on him. And all of the threes he was taking were self-created. A lot of those were chucks to the detriment of the team. But I think that he should be better with another ball handler.
Like I said, I think we both wish that last scholarship was a proven shooter, but just wasn't an option for a lot of reasons, which is upsetting, because I kind of wanted this year to go all out. And it looked pretty promising there for a sec. But Bengal Dak is not a bad player, and will not be a bad player. And early returns sound good for Asante Diop. Courtney Anderson is super young and won't play that much, but he looks huge. I love that. And surprising amount of buzz about RJ Smith coming out.
What's the buzz?
just that he is ready now. Sounds like he's
okay.
Pretty much exactly what they want from that spot, defender, and he'll shoot a bunch. So,
we forgot to mention Javon Ruffin's out for the season. That's a pretty big issue.
Yes, that also sucks. Oh,
yeah.
That also
sucks. No, that's a big deal because he was kind of the guy where you're like, oh, if someone gets to play big minutes who we're not exactly expecting, it could be Ruffin because of his shooting and just generally smart play. Yeah, that sucks. I hope he's better because he's been having injury after injury for the last 3-4 years now. Do you have a starting five
for next year?
Yeah.
I think what you said is right. Simpson, I would put one to the two or three. You know, I don't know what that looks like. It's still about the three or four. Lampkin and that last one is the one that would have been a nice transfer to have. I could honestly see them doing Hammond. You know, I could see Hadley being somewhere in there. I think Tad still loves Hadley. The new number one took
yeah
number one.
I was about to write that up. I forgot about it. Do you like Luke O'Brien as a starter or as a sixth man?
I think Tad loves him off the bench because he immediately brings in so much energy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Whereas Hadley's more steady. I was going to say a point. You don't necessarily have to be a good shooting team if you get 30% of offensive rebounds.
That's true. And Lampkin will carve space, but we also know that that is not what you get DeSilva on your team for. Like, he's not that guy.
Yeah, but if you have Hadley, O'Brien, Lampkin, and then Williams, those are pretty good reboundings. No?
Yeah, and Simpson. Simpson's a great rebounder for his size.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You could do worse, but it's also been better. It's been better to have oil teams at rebounding.
Yeah. Oh, I meant to ask Tad because I only had 5 minutes with him and I got cut off because they're on a tight schedule. But I meant to ask about Eddie Lampkin and about what he's going to bring back to the team that maybe they've been missing. Excited to hear about
that. Yeah. Well, maybe you'll catch him tomorrow.
Yeah. Maybe. Do you want to talk about the team Colorado? They're back in the TBT.
Yeah, it's the TBT.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay. All right.
He's
so
in
I want to.
Okay.
Have you looked at the roster?
Yes, it's like my college years.
Yeah.
That's basically, what I'm watching.
So, like, if you don't know what it's called, the tournament, also known as TBT. Colorado used to have their alumni team as one of the best teams year after year after year. And it was led by, like, Marcus Hall. Shannon Sharp was there. He's still there. Marcus Relliford. And they just weren't – they just kind of got old. And they stopped coming. COVID happened. And we needed a refresh. And now Evan Batty is leading the team. Professional player in Bulgaria now, and he's brought his guys. He's brought Deshaun Schwartz. He's brought Dallas Walton, Dominique Collier, Jariah Horn, George King, Shane Gatling. Let me scroll. Okay. Lucas Seawert had to withdraw because he's playing for Brazil.
Damn it.
Yeah. Tyler Bay, and then old heads. Xavier Johnson, Trayshawn Fletcher, Torrey Miller Stewart.
Yeah, baby. He was coach. He's on the coaching staff.
Yeah. Sorry, he's not playing. I wish he was playing. But I love that they brought back these guys. I love that they brought back players who transferred elsewhere. I love that they brought back Jariah Horn, who transferred to Colorado and then transferred back to where he came from. But he's still a buff. Trayshawn Fletcher, goddamn, I'm so happy about this.
Yeah.
How many left?
You gotta love Trayshawn.
One, two. Oh, Shannon Sharp also, he is back. He's like, he's old now, but he can still jump. This is a weird roster. And it makes very little sense.
There's like one guard, maybe. Nick Collier, right?
Nick Collier, and I guess Shane Gatling's a guard.
That's all you need.
Trayshawn Fletcher is going to be a ball handler. George King is listed as a point guard. I don't know if you saw that.
He better have really worked on the handle.
I'm pretty sure everybody on this team is listed as a point guard or a power forward. Oh, there's a small forward. Small forward. Okay.
That's so what else fun. Do you need?
What else do you need? I want to write these down and think of a starting lineup. Wait. Do you want to draft?
What? Draft this team? Yes.
All right, you get first pick. Since it's easy.
Deshaun Schwartz just signed a pro contract in France. Hell yeah.
Oh, nice.
I get first pick?
Deshaun Schwartz is a bucket in Europe, I think. I think he just was great in Turkey. I think he's going to have a long career there. Maybe he figured it out.
I get first pick?
Yeah.
And I can't just take the mayor of Boulder. I guess I could, but...
You can take him.
I mean, this is just pure nostalgia play anyways. So I'm just going to pick my boy. The guy I love for no reason at all. Give me Trayshawn Fletcher, dude.
Oh, shit. Okay. He was going to be my first pick. Because I need ball handling. Okay.
Give me Trayshawn Fletcher. He's my boy.
I need to take Deshaun Schwartz because I think he's gotten really good. Like, I don't know what happened. Maybe everything clicked for him. But no, I need a go-to scorer.
Okay. We both have our go-to scorers, both lefties.
Yeah.
I mean, basically mirroring
wings
each other.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take my defensive stopper. Give me Tyler Bay.
Okay, give me Evan Batty.
Damn it.
Oh, he was on the second Fenerbahce team. It's still good. He still averaged a lot. Did you know Thomas Akyazili plays professionally in Turkey for one of the best teams?
He still plays professionally?
Yeah, no, he's like on one of the best teams in Turkey.
Wow.
I found that out the other day.
I'll take George King.
Okay. That was my next pick. Give me Xavier Johnson.
Nice. I'm interested to see what he looks like. If he has maintained anything, he could be a bucket.
I don't know.
Okay, I'll take Collier, I guess.
Okay. Give me Jeriah
Horn. Who is handling the ball for you?
I have Deshaun Schwartz.
Oh, my God. My team is so much better than yours.
Okay, wait. Hang on a second. I'm not writing these down, so... Okay, go ahead.
And then DeBang with, I'll take Walton.
You'll take Walton? Okay, that means I get Gatling. Did we forget anyone?
Okay, my team is so much better than your team, dude.
Okay, wait, what's my team?
We probably should have snake drafted, but whatever.
No snake draft. So I have Shane Gatling. Deshaun Schwartz.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm writing this down.
You have Horn, right?
I have XJ, I have Horn. My team is not that bad.
No, but you're basically relying, if you get hot, you're the best team in the tournament. But Batty, and you team. Have Batty.
Yeah. Yeah, so Gatling at the one-ish.
Oh, God.
Schwartz and
That's not
XJ.
good for you, man.
Schwartz and XJ are mostly going to be my ball handlers. Horn and then Batty. The offense is running through Batty. Oh, that's very important. Offense running through Batty with shooters all around him.
I
I like
mean,
it.
you are screwed, though. My team, yeah. Oh, you are
All right,
dead.
let's see.
Okay, so
Let's see.
I get Dom Collier as a classic lead guard, little pest on defense. I got
Okay.
shooting guard George King, the one of the
Yeah.
best shooters in Colorado history.
He should have been my
He's
first
a
pick.
bucket. Trayshawn Fletcher, nice big bodied wing, learned how to create his own shot at Toledo. Love
Dude, he
him.
averaged like 5 assists a game too at Toledo.
Yeah, he's a linchpin. Tyler Bay is a defensive roamer and stopper who can get lobs and dunks.
I can live with that.
And then Dallas Walton is the anchor in the middle and a five out weapon on offense.
Five out with Tyler Bay at the power forward.
Four out offense.
I like my team better. I like it better.
Yeah,
It's more
you're insane.
cohesive.
So
I have a system.
Yeah, you're insane.
I regret the XJ pick. I was hoping to get George King instead of him. It's okay.
Yeah, I win. It's fine.
Yeah, you win. Oh, you're not gonna
well,
write
this was
it
fun for
down?
us.
Okay.
And RIP Lucas Seward. I wanted to see him again.
Let's see. Oh, also Zach Rubisam is the head coach.
Yeah, Torrey
He's
Miller, assistant coach.
Rubisam is the director of player development. So this is at CU. So this is fun coaching experience for him. I think that's the position Nate Tomlinson had. So keep an eye on that. We forgot to draft Shannon Sharp, but that's okay.
He's got to be like, what, 35 now?
We'll see. We'll see what happens with this team. I think they played
Where's
Purdue
Carlin Brown
first.
At, dude?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, where's Carlin Brown? Oh, no, he retired like 5 years ago. I think he was having some like knee issues or something.
Damn.
He doesn't play. Yeah, he was like 28. I think he's a coach now. Austin Dufault, too, is a coach.
I knew that. He was with the Lakers. All right, let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
Let's move over to football, the more fun
oh,
stuff.
Yeah,
so please, what, Dufault still with the Lakers?
No, Carlon Brown is an assistant coach at Grand Canyon University.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think.
That's like
yeah.
Closer than I expected to like,
oh,
legitimate successor.
No, I was wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. He was a graduate assistant at GCU. Now he's a head coach at a prep school in Arizona.
Oh, that's still not bad.
Something. Yeah.
That's how it starts,
no, he's
man.
Good.
Good
but
for
like
him.
That team we had a lot of coaches. Dufault, Tomlinson, Carlon.
Yeah. Alec Burks once he eventually stops becoming a bucket in the NBA.
Nah, I think Lonzo Robertson's more likely to coach. I was thinking the tournament team also, not the one with Burks. But go off.
So, pivoting quickly to football, let's get this out of the way. Seems like Deion Sanders' surgery for blood clots was successful, which is great to hear. And hopefully that gets him a little bit more mobility. You know, we only know about this because he chooses to share about this, which, you know, is not something that I would necessarily do. But, like, you know, I appreciate that the look in, I guess, and I'm glad it went well.
Yeah.
Nothing
happy,
else to add there.
Yeah, happy he's healthy.
Yeah. And other things of the there's my segue. And other things of the football kind. Looks like the last remaining straggler who is not on campus just arrived on campus this week with Cormani McClain, the 5-star cornerback, finally getting on campus. So I believe almost everyone in the spring 2023 recruiting class is now around and available. So great. He's going to be immediately put into summer conditioning. They've been putting out summer conditioning videos. Sam, I know you don't care, but there is an immediate difference I've noticed in the size of the team now that we've turned it over, which is fun.
They're
I would
small.
say some pretty no.
What?
No, they're not.
Wait, okay. Hang on a second. Sorry. Are you,
No,
what are
they're
you
not.
talking about? Our skill position players are small, our receivers are small, but
You're insane.
what?
No,
What are you
they're
talking
not.
about?
Who? No,
Our DBs
they're
are kind of
not.
small.
Dude, you're insane. What are you talking about? What do you expect them
What?
to look like?
Travis Hunter weighs like 165 pounds. Cormani McClain probably
No,
weighs like 160.
I was about to single out Travis Hunter as someone who, in fact, doesn't look small anymore. I think
Oh,
Travis
okay.
Hunter looks.
Anymore. Sorry. I haven't seen the pictures before and after. Did Cameron
Oh
Sillman
my.
Craig
If
have that
only
good
you
collar?
listened to what I was saying, and then
Oh,
I would have
no.
said.
I was looking up Jeremy Adams' LinkedIn
Oh
profile. He's a self-driven,
you
charismatic
son
business
of a
professional
bitch.
now. Sorry.
Oh man.
It's
Yeah,
like
no,
when
they
you start
don't
talking
look
football
small.
stuff, that's like my time to rest.
Ugh.
Okay. Sorry. Sorry.
So anyways, keep that in the back of your hat. Oh my God, I just realized I was accidentally control shifting everything. Because I put my
Okay.
phone on my keyboard and I was like, why is Zoom freaking out? So anyways, yeah, keep that. I would say start watching those videos with the summer conditioning. You know, kind of skip around. That's what I do. I don't watch 15 minutes every day, but it's interesting to see some the people that have definitely made gains. I'd also like to shout out Tank Lichtenhand from last year, the left tackle. He looks like a
That's
mammoth. He's
who people were referring to as Tank. I had no
yeah.
idea. That was his nickname.
He looks good.
Okay.
And Shane Cokes is still a beast. So yeah, I have appreciated getting that look into it. Seems like everyone's on campus. I think the last remaining holdover of people we know about is Brendan Gant. I don't think we've seen Brendan Gant yet from Florida State, but everyone else should be around. And also keep an eye out. I'll see if we can cross post feed wise. I just recorded this week or last week a 3-hour episode with the Oregon guys, the Addicted to Quack guy, Hithaday, and their podcast, The Quack 12. Hithaday is incredible. He watches more film than anyone I've ever seen ever. So he always has the best questions and goes, and we go position by position. At CU, he waited as long as possible because CU's team was, you know, in construction when he started doing this stuff. But we went through position by position, and then at the very end, after the mics went off, we talked about some of our record predictions. And Sam, any questions you might have about that, I'd be happy to answer here before we start doing our own preview stuff.
Roster construction.
Roster construction, record predictions. He had a very surprising, prediction that I can tease here and also just reveal outright. I don't know what I'd be teasing it for. Like I'm not going to write it up, so you know. But ask away.
Schedule is not that bad.
You're insane. What? Dude. No, the schedule is unquestionably hard, but I don't think it's impossible.
What do you think is the biggest strength of this team right now, as things stand?
Position like
Position group.
position group wise,
Yeah.
I would say our best position top to bottom is probably the running backs.
Oh, interesting.
Starting running back Alton McCaskill, who I think is a top three starter in the Pac-12. Behind him, you have Kavosiy Smoke, who's done it for a million years at Kentucky. And is a great change of pace. Dylan Edwards is one of the best freshmen and will be one of the fastest players in the country immediately. Adding to that, Sylveon Wilkerson rushed for 1,000 last year at Jackson State. Familiar with the players, familiar with the offense. Runs kind of like Philip Lindsay, where it's just like, you know, he's going to
You
die if he
can't
doesn't get
say
those extra
that.
2 yards. He does, though. It's similar
Okay,
build,
okay.
and it's the same, you know, kind of manic look in their eyes. And they're just like, they, you know, it's. It's like a
Oh.
speed Sandra Bullock scenario where strapped to their chest is a bomb, and if they don't fight for every extra inch the bomb goes off, you know.
Okay. I appreciate the reference.
So your fifth best running back is arguably our best running back from last year, Anthony Hankerson, and that's number five this year. And that's not including Charlie Offerdahl. So that's a group.
So are you not?
That is a group.
I guess like that is pretty good depth. Like Offerdahl being fifth is pretty nice.
Sixth.
Sixth. Okay. Are you worried that McCaskill has been injured and Kavosiy Smoke has kind of not looked the same since he did as a freshman because of his injuries?
No, McCaskill was a full participant in Houston spring before he transferred. So I think he's pretty much recovered. Seems like he still has a pretty gnarly brace on in the videos, but you know, if you're tackling in the spring, I trust that you will be able, good to go. Kavosiy Smoke, yeah, kind of petered out after his redshirt freshman year, but also Kentucky's running backs nothing to sneeze at in that time. You know, Benny Snell, Chris Rodriguez, like good NFL backs.
Yeah.
And we're not asking to be anything more than pass pro and a leak out on third down with some nice tough running in there. I mean, he's ripped. If you look at the videos, he's huge. So really good ad, you know, not concerned. I would say our second best position group, or maybe our best position group, is the safeties. Our safety room is just
lovely. I like the safeties, yeah.
Okay, any other questions?
Does it matter that our tight ends don't look that good? Like, I mean, like, no disrespect to Lewis Passarello, but like,
no, they look, it's our worst room by far. And I actually was saying this on their podcast. My hot take is that our starting tight end by the time the season gets around will be walk-on Eli Yelverton. He was a scholarship player at Iowa as a tight end before he basically dropped out medically and I don't know, kind of fell out of love with the game or something. But the reason I say that is because he happened
Brian Ferentz,
to play.
Wait, let me make a joke. Brian Ferentz will do that to a player.
Yes. Yeah. Cade McNamara is trying his best.
Yeah.
Cade McNamara is like your cool new stepdad. He's like, no, it's not that bad. No, we're having fun here, you know.
I thought he was supposed to be an old school tight ends coach who just wanted blocking. But he's like, he's chill about it.
Tim Brewster or Brian Ferentz?
Oh, no. Who's McNamara?
Cade McNamara is the quarterback from Michigan, who's now Iowa's starting quarterback.
Okay, so what are you saying?
I'm saying that Cade McNamara is like leading the recruiting charge for Iowa's offense because he can be like, nah, I think now not like your old shitty dad. I'm your new cool dad. Yeah.
Yeah, or like they can sell the promise. Like once you guys get here and we purposefully don't get to 250 points on the season, in which case Brian Ferentz will be fired. Because there's the clause in his contract. Then we'll have a new offensive coordinator.
So here's why I say Yelverton is likely to start, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He's walk-on right now. He went to Trinity Christian High School with Shador Sanders as a high schooler and played with him there. Out of high school, he picked Iowa over offers from Auburn, Georgia, us, Florida, Indiana, Kansas State, LSU, Michigan State, Ole Miss, Oregon, Penn State. You get the picture, right? One of the best in the country. And if he becomes if he is half of what he was potentially, then that's going to be something. But also, I think that is unquestionably our worst on paper position group. You know, Sean Lewis doesn't really use the tight end that much. So, whatever.
And, okay, so not having a back quarterback is whatever because we're fucked if if Shador gets hurt anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Quarterback looks good. Someone should break out next to Travis Hunter.
It looks very good. Yeah, I mean, deep.
Linebackers look good. What's wrong with this team? Is there any issue? What's wrong with this team besides?
Well, you'd argue chemistry and scheme install is going to be a bitch because you have like two months. You know, athletically, we are, I would say, now in like the middle of the pack, which is a just incredible leap over what last year's team looked like athletically.
The offensive line will be bottom of the pack.
Yeah, the offensive line will be an experiment. I kind of like how they dealt with it, but it'll be an experiment. And like you said, if Shule gets hurt, this season's toast at all. It's not even like if he misses a few games. Like if Shedeur Sanders misses a series, I don't even. We're relying on two freshmen behind him, two freshmen. So like it'll be rough.
It'll look like the Kendall Hinton at quarterback Broncos offense.
Nice. There you go.
Thank you.
Or the Limbaugh in Kentucky coming back again. So yeah, I don't know.
No, you can't do that to me. He ran for like 250 yards that game.
In terms of what's wrong with this team, I don't think we have the talent, at least in the trenches, definitely in the trenches, to compete with like Utah or USC or Oregon. But I guess I'll leave this podcast with this. When I was chatting with the Oregon friend, he was the only non-CU fan I've ever heard make this claim, and I kind of agree with it. And part of it's his hatred of this other team, as opposed to how much he likes CU's team. But we were chatting, and I'm this is all off the record, so I'm probably screwing myself for future appearances. But he did, in fact, say that he expects not only a close game when CU plays TCU week one, but he expects CU to beat TCU in week one.
Interesting. I was going to say that that's a sneaky possible upset.
TCU is 22-point favorites right now, so would be an upset. Yeah. But yeah, it seems like he was not a he thought last year's TCU team had a ton of luck on their side, and they're losing a lot of defensive starters.
Oh yeah, they did.
Here's all I'll say is I can't remember when this happened, but maybe CU fans are familiar with a team that lost a lot of defensive senior leadership and a quarterback that was the heart of the team that overcame his physical limitations through tough running. And that team went pretty far and then got absolutely destroyed in the postseason. And even though the next year's team was more talented on paper due to good recruiting, it wasn't quite the same. I don't know if CU's ever seen anything like that in the last 7 years or so.
That said, we did that team did start with a absolute dismantling of Colorado State.
And I think, yeah, I think TCU will, whenever they play their version of Colorado State, will do the same.
I mixed up years. That was not the year.
2018 was the LaVisca Chenault breakout game, where it was Lamon and LaVisca, and they just figured out that they were better than anyone else on the field. 2017, actually, I believe, was a gross game where Stephen Mont, I think there was like three PIs, offensive PIs, that wiped out two touchdowns or something. And
that's because they were pushing off.
No, it was legit. You know, it was
literally
legit.
The CU coaching staff told the refs, like, watch out
McIntyre,
for these push-ups.
I watched McIntyre point him out. I watched that happen.
BC Johnson is pushing him off every time.
Yeah, I watched it happen. But, yes, that game was disgusting. That game was disgusting.
Yeah, no, I was there for that game. That sucked. I also got I also got elbowed in the face by a drunk CU student on the bus to that game, which was fun.
And they that's why you have your distinctive crook in your nose.
What?
That's why you have the distinctive crook in your nose.
I do not have a crook in my nose, you fucking doof.
Anyways, it was a great podcast. We will retweet it whenever it goes out and definitely read his article trying to break down CU stuff. Like I said,
are you talking about this podcast or that podcast?
The one I just did with the Oregon AI. I always try to plug when I can because it is so in depth. He watched 3 years of Kent State games to get a feel for Sean Lewis's offense. Like, I'm telling you, he watches a lot of stuff. Like,
this guy's insane.
Yeah, man.
Him many times before.
Yeah, he's always so well informed. He's always the best. That's it. I'm done.
Yeah, okay, I'm done. Signing off from Hungary. Jack, you're signing off from Denver.
I refuse to give my location.
To get doxxed.
Let's just say that a tornado landed somewhere near me.
Oh, Platteville, Colorado, where I grew up?
No, there was a tornado that landed in Colorado. Springs. Oh, sorry, no, Highlands Ranch. Highlands Ranch had a tornado.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right. Well, okay. Bye,
yeah, man.
Bye, Jack. Take
all right.
cover.
Buzz! 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 Buzz!